Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, and serving the entire Washington, D.C. area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can read articles and see videos and hear radio shows of interest on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics. Now, in my never-ending saga to tell you what has happened in terms of the tax world, I'm going to be talking about in greater detail some of the provisions that were in the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, which was passed at the beginning of this year. And I've done that on a couple of prior shows. We're really going to dig into some of the details on some of these provisions because we just haven't had time to cover all that's contained in there. And a lot of it is just merely extensions of what was in the law previously. So we will cover that and we'll cover a little bit more as well. Now, just to refresh your memory, the ATRA, American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, was enacted on June the 1st of 2013, and it includes a variety of income tax changes, but it also does the following. It defers the budget sequestration process until March 2013, which is just around the corner, and we've been listening to the radio and television and reading the newspaper. And many are predicting that sequestration will in fact occur and will fall off yet another fiscal cliff. The act also extended federal unemployment benefits for 1 year, and it included the so-called Medicare DOC fix, which extends Medicare payment reimbursement rates for physicians through 2013. What happens after 2013 is your best guess, but at least for 2013, the doctors are able to receive their current rates of Medicare reimbursement. The one thing it did not do, the act did not do, was to extend the 2% payroll tax reduction that all of us who work enjoyed in 2012 and in 2011. So, as you've probably noticed on your paychecks in 2013, your payroll taxes have gone up. Now, we've already focused a lot on the marginal tax rates and the exemptions and the reduced rates for capital gains, also the fix in the alternative minimum tax, which would have affected 27.5 million people in the United States, was fixed in the ATRA by increasing the exemptions from a low level to $78,750 for married couples filing jointly. And I've got to say that that really does take care of it, but it also increases our deficit. By fixing the AMT for 10 years, it increases the deficit by $1.8 trillion. That is a lot of money to address the AMT. Now, here are some of the provisions that I didn't really talk about in great detail last time or the time before, and I think it's really important for many of our listeners to hear this. Marriage penalty relief. The act extended permanently an increase in the basic standard deduction for married couples who file joint tax returns, basically to twice the basic standard deduction for a single individual. So it treats a married couple the same as single individuals on a standard deduction basis. What it doesn't do is it doesn't have equity or marriage relief, and therefore married couples are penalized in terms of the tax brackets. If you remember, single individuals are treated as wealthy and pay tax at the highest rate at $400,000 of taxable income. Married couples pay tax at the highest rates at $450,000. So instead of $800,000, which would have been true parity with single individuals, the married couples aren't treated quite as fairly as the single individuals. Who knows how that'll play out in the future, but that's what happened in ATRA. The act also permanently extended an increase in the 15% regular income tax bracket for married couples who file jointly to twice the bracket for 15% bracket for single individuals. Other provisions that affected individuals in the act that I didn't mention last time include an extension of the child tax credit, an extension of the dependent care tax credit, and an adoption tax credit. An employer-provided adoption system assistance program exclusions will continue at least through 2013, and in some cases all the way up until 2017. The earned income tax credit, which benefits lower income taxpayers, also was extended all the way through 2017 for 5 years. The Act also provides for certain education incentives and extends provisions that had previously expired under the tax law. So included in those extensions were the Coverdell Education Savings Account provisions that are beneficial for lower income taxpayers, the Section 127 exclusion for employer-provided educational assistance. You can exclude benefits if you satisfy the Section 127 test, meaning that you're getting education to further your trade or business or further your job, and the money that's paid for you by the employer is not taxable to you, even though the employer gets a deduction for it. The deduction for student loan interest, that was extended under the ATRA. There are also certain income scholarships that are excluded from tax, and those were extended as well. Now, a really important provision that many people didn't notice until recently was that just as you can convert an IRA, an individual retirement account, from a regular IRA into a Roth IRA, and you have to pay the income tax on the assets in the IRA, you can now do the same thing with a 401k plan. So there is something known as a Roth 401k plan. Generally, certain retirement plans, such as a 401k plan, allows a participant to convert pre-tax accounts to a Roth account in the plan, but only with respect to amounts that are permitted as distributions, meaning that you have to be at least age 59 and a half and or separated from service. The Act now allows any amount in a non-Roth 401k account to be converted to a Roth 401k in the same plan, whether or not you satisfy the requirements for distribution. So you could be 40 years old and convert your 401k into a Roth 401k and not face any penalties for doing that. You still would have to pay income tax on it. So that's a very helpful provision. We've talked about the estate tax changes, which were all, in my opinion, very favorable to the public, increasing the overall exemption to $5.25 million per person, which equates to $10.5 million escaping federal estate tax for all the American public, which really effectively excludes as much as 97 to 98% of all Americans from the estate tax, at least for federal purposes. One of the things you've got to be aware of, though, is if you live in D.C., or you live in Maryland, you still will have estate tax and potentially inheritance tax in Maryland if your estates exceed $1 million or $2 million for married couples. So be very, very careful about that. Don't ignore the fact that you still may have death tax in these two jurisdictions and several other jurisdictions around the country. There were some important changes in the business tax provisions, really, again, extending expiring benefits that were enacted in 2008, 2009, and 2010. One of those is that you still can take what's called additional 50% first-year depreciation deductions for qualified property, and that is for property that's placed in service in 2013. And this includes up to $250,000 of qualified leasehold improvements, as well as qualified restaurant property and certain qualified retail property that is placed in service in 2013. There's no change in the definition of what qualified property is, and consult with your tax advisor to get more details on that. The Act also allows corporations to elect to take additional alternative minimum tax credits in 2013. 13, if they forego the use of bonus depreciation on qualified property placed in service in that year. There also is an extension of the very favorable Section 179 expensing deduction. This provision says that if you have certain qualified property, instead of having to depreciate it over 2 or 5 or 10 or 15 years, you can actually write it off in the year that you buy the property and place it in service. A limitation on the amount was also increased in prior years to $500,000. So you can actually expense up to $500,000 of Section 179 property. This, too, was extended in ATRA for one more year. So the very favorable write-off rules for business property remain in effect for at least one more year. The Congress, much to the chagrin of the House, but pleasing the Senate Finance Committee members, extended all of the expiring provisions that the Senate Finance Committee wanted to extend. They all were extended for at least one year, including the research and development credit, the work opportunity tax credit, the so-called new markets credit, and there are several provisions that help multinational corporations as well. And one important provision that you may not have been aware of is that for S corporations, if you have built-in gain on a conversion from a C corp, that built-in gain normally has to be recaptured if you sell it within 10 years. Well, that period was shortened to 5 years during the Economic Recovery Acts over the last few years, and that too was extended for 2013. Hey, if you've got more questions on taxes, give us a call at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100, and one of our many tax lawyers at the firm can help you ferret through all of these provisions that were enacted in ATRA 2012. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.